unscripted, unedited, uneducated, unconventional, uncensored. Welcome to Illumination Podcast.
And here we go again. Here we are. Cousin Pauline's here.
Hello.
Dave, the dad's here.
Hello.
And I'm your host, Bob. Welcome to another Illumination. We're going to take a little break from the...
All right.
The relentless... Yeah, see it. We're back in five.
We have a final. What a final.
What a final, yep. It's Shawshank Fiction against Pulp Redemption. See what I did there?
I think you're cracking up.
Yes, that is true. So we're going to take a break from the draw and the relentless decision-making. For my honourable mentions, it's all about me.
Do we have to?
I wonder if it'd be a car crash edition like mine was.
No, this is going to be a calm. I mean, you two could just go if you want.
I thought my one was perfect. I loved mine.
Apart from the films, yeah.
No, good. You did like it.
Yeah, but you didn't have saboteurs in the room, did
no,
you?
I didn't.
The saboteur.
Saboteurs in the room.
He was acting
I had.
Like an idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Dave's sweating. He's going to take his T-shirt off and get the hand towel from the bathroom and start rubbing his head.
Yeah.
Jesus, that was mental, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It really was. It was.
You encouraged him.
I can't help it. When I'm in his company, I turn into him, I'm sure. There is a percentage
you
of
do,
me.
You do, yeah. But yeah. It's not all bad. Sometimes it's really quite
No,
funny.
I'm the good parts. Yeah, I'm the good parts. It's just the... Yeah, it's just everything else. these are my honourable mentions. These are four films that are non-90s that I think deserve a little shout-out.
Any bubbling unders?
Got a little bubbling under list.
Go on, let's have them
bubbling
first.
Unders. Superbad.
Never seen it.
No.
There's who's the fat bloke? The young fat bloke. Yeah, Superbad. Seth. Oh, forget it. I can't be asked. It's because I didn't do research on these ones. I can't remember.
Seth Rogen.
No, yeah, Seth Rogen wrote
Rogen,
it.
Rogen wrote
it. And it's got... who's the bloke who...
Do you know what? You're doing really shit so far.
Yeah, I know. I've got no notes on these. This is bubbling under. This
but
is bubbling under.
Much better than
I
you.
Can't remember his... I can't remember his name.
If this is a film, they go, cut. Yeah. Go again, love.
From the top.
Pineapple Express, which is another Seth Rogen one. I put any 80s comedy because I could have written Three Amigos, Planes, Trains and Automobiles, any John Candy,
it's
any
a
Steve
bit of
Martin.
A big bumbling under.
Yeah, but it, yeah.
Any 80s comedy.
Warriors was in the top four.
I think that's dated
for a little while.
Bob.
Oh, I like it though. It's good.
It was good in its day, but it's dated.
I love it. The original Die Hard, obviously. Lethal Weapon. Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Bit weak. It's all right.
Bubbling but, under. It's one of mine.
Yeah.
It's actually the Twist and Shout singing.
Yeah,
on the
I know, yeah.
That's the best bit. Revenant.
Yeah, Revenant was a good film, even though it had Tom Hardy in, who's not one of my favourites.
Oh, I thought it was great. Wolf of Wall Street.
Oh, I like that.
Good film.
First
good film.
One I've liked. Yeah. You're
I only seen it once. I have to watch that one again.
Yeah, I want to watch it again. Yeah. Who's the guy with the glasses?
Is it Clark Kent?
No, it's Joan. Yeah, I can't think of his name. It's going to really annoy me. He's the one from Superbad. And then I put 21 and 22 Jump Street, who's got that same bloke in it, but I can't remember his name.
Oh, you've done the research then?
No, yeah, I haven't. Yeah, They're the bubbling unders. I'm going to Google it while I'm live on air. I have to.
Didn't see me having to Google.
Pauline, sing us a song while we're waiting.
I wonder if Jane's shouting his name out.
Probably all of them, probably.
I'd like to know why you didn't tell me I could do bubbling unders.
Because your films were bad.
Jonah Hill.
Oh, Jonah Hill. Yeah, yeah. I like Jonah Hill.
God, that was driving me mad.
Show me a picture. Oh, no, don't. He's gone.
Is he that fat?
He used to be.
Oh, I know who you mean.
That's Jonah Hill.
Yeah, I know who you mean.
Yeah, so, any film he's in, really. They're the bubbling unders. I did that list quickly because I knew you'd ask, Dave. I know what you like. So, you ready for film one?
Jordan.
Well, have we got any news first before we carry on?
No.
Are you all settled back, Dave, after your trip away?
Well, I saw it yesterday.
All right.
It's only been a day. It's different. Nothing's happened.
Went home,
went to bed. Well, that killed. I only got up for 1 wee last night.
Oh, that's a good ratio for you, isn't it?
Good for me, yeah.
Yeah. Did you make it to the bathroom?
Of course I did.
I didn't get up at all.
Didn't stub my toe once. It's funny when you stub your toe, isn't it?
When I stubbed my toe.
Oh, yeah.
Your bed is in a terrible position, isn't it? Because I have to empty your bin on a Thursday when the bin men come on a Friday. And the duvet goes over the end of the bed. But the end of the bed's got like a bar on it. And the bar sort of sticks out. Oh, so as you go around it, you think the end of the bed's sort of there. And it hasn't. It's got this wedge. The amount of times I've given myself a dead leg.
Her bed's peculiar because it's getting higher and higher. Because it's
like the prince and princess and the pea.
It's sort of comfortable, but then wifey says, it gives me backache. So should we get a topper? So we've already got a topper. Let's get another one. So he keeps buying these toppers. I'm going to bang my head on the ceiling one morning. I really, it's getting higher and
scraping
higher.
Scraping his nose on the ceiling.
But while we were away, they had a nice bed there. It didn't seem very, when we first tried it, this is a bit hard, but it was really comfortable.
Yeah.
They didn't wake up with backache or nothing.
Because you do
it some. I'm talking about me at the moment.
Oh, right.
But while we were there, they had a topper on, and it was from IKEA. So we made a note of it and ordered one while we're away. So we're going to abandon all the other toppers.
Yeah, your bed is ridiculously high.
And get back to a normal bed.
Your bed sits higher than the top of wifey's head when she stands up. I mean, she must get out of bed and go, ah!
Fall out.
Yeah.
So,
your bed is straight because if I could sleep mid-air, I would. Like, if I'm literally... I'm laying on the bed, but because I'm hot, I get hot at night. I don't have a duvet, I don't have a blanket, nothing, right?
You don't have a duvet over you?
No, God, no. It's too hot all the time. So even the bed, when I'm laying on it, I make the bed hot, obviously.
Oh.
If I could sleep mid-air like Exorcist, I would. That would be heaven for me.
Or get yourself possessed.
Yeah, or go to space.
Wifey sleeps with one leg hanging out the bed.
Oh no.
I'm scared someone's going to grab it.
Lewis?
Can't put a foot out or a leg out.
It's
or
quite peculiar.
Out.
It just hangs off the side of the bed.
Wow, weird.
I know, yeah. Sometimes I bash into it when I'm going out.
That is really weird.
It's peculiar.
Now you think someone from under the bed's going to grab your ankle.
It's that man with the axe. Any hands out during the night, he'll have you. And never leave. The cupboard door open, the closet monster lives in there. He will get you in the night.
If any kids listening to this, you should
get the knife out of them. It's not the closet monster you want to worry about. It's the burglars coming in through the window. Right, let's get on with it.
One thing about when we was away, you couldn't open any windows.
What? Oh, no.
Oh, you like a breeze.
That.
You always sleep with windows
open.
Yeah,
6 foot of snow outside, we have the window wide open. Just have to have air in the night.
Yeah, on the side.
So that was a bit of a bummer. But I weren't drinking that much, so just a couple of pints and a couple of glasses.
Blimey, the amount of wind that comes out of you too, I'm surprised it weren't an explosion. any nighttime stories, Pauline, to add
nighttime
to that?
Nighttime stories?
Yeah, to add to that.
Are you nervous at night? Are you just like shivering in your bed, you know, thinking someone's going to come in and get you?
No, never. Never felt like that.
I lay there sometimes. I just think, I hope they do.
What, come and get me?
Yeah, no, not you.
Oh.
Just put me out of my misery. Just
I think they should.
While I'm asleep. Just like a dog, just put me down.
They could do it.
Yeah.
Are you all right in the house on your own?
Yeah, I'm always in the house on my own, though, aren't I?
Well, Lewis lives
with me. Well, I know Lewis lives with me, but quite often.
Oh, you don't count then? He just did nothing.
Yeah. No. Any burglars that are listening, she lives at.
No, but you know what I mean? So Lewis comes and goes.
You're not nervous. If you have been on your own, you're fine.
No, absolutely fine. Yet, Mum, oh my God, she was a nervous wreck. She wouldn't be able to go to bed if she was in the house on her own.
Sit down all night on her own?
Yeah, she'd go.
That's scary in itself, isn't it? Somebody just sitting in a chair all night in the dark.
she wouldn't like it.
I'm a bit like that, though. I'm a bit like noises and stuff like that in the night. That's why it's good to be deaf in one ear, because I literally don't hear anything.
You don't hear the ghosts and the burglars coming.
Yeah. Well, you said amount of times I wake up in the morning, God, did you hear them foxes last night? Did you hear that storm last night? God, did you hear that earthquake?
Bloody
last
rain.
Night? Yeah.
So I'm like, nothing.
Yeah. Oh, it's good times. Good times. I did want to mention, actually, before we carry on, we're having sort of production discussions about features for our season three. And I just thought I'd put it out to our listeners. If they've got any ideas or things you want us to discuss or things you think...
Even though we've already practically nailed it, haven't we?
Oh, no.
Future seasons...
No, but features I'm talking about.
Features.
Little thing, yeah.
Like get it off your chest, sort of thing.
Anything that you think that would be
fun.
Bit of fun for us or for you to listen to. Or any opinions you want us to sort of touch on. So, just putting it out for our listeners. Are you ready for my first film?
Yeah, come on. Let's get it over with.
So. First film, 2008. It's 1 hour, 49 minutes.
Oh, my God. You didn't even say how long they are.
The Wrestler, Mickey Rourke.
He was a great actor in that film.
It
was a great acting performance, I think.
He wasn't first choice, though.
Who was? Hulk Hogan?
No, close. Lanny Poffo.
Who the hell's he?
Who the bloody hell's that?
Do you remember The Wrestler, The Genius? No, he's the Macho Man's brother.
Oh yeah,
dig it. He was lined
Miss
up.
Elizabeth.
He was lined up for it, but they said he looked too clean. He was in too good a shape to be him. He wasn't beaten up enough.
Mickey Rourke weren't in great shape, was he?
No. But that's the idea. They also had Nicolas Cage was lined up because they didn't want him to do it.
I know.
Nicolas Cage is the worst actor ever.
Whoa! Oh,
he even beats Tom Cruise. I mean,
wow. Are
you sure about
that? Oh, he's awful.
Well, them two, Tom Cruise and Nicolas Cage, they're doing a remake of Twins, aren't they?
Who is?
Nicolas Cage and Tom Cruise.
What? Tiny Twins?
No, I'm joking. I'd watch it. But yeah, so he was, Nicolas Cage was lined up for it only because they wanted a bigger budget. It was made for $6 million and they asked for $18 million. So they said, can we have $18 million? We've got Nicolas Cage is sort of interested. And they said, no, we'll give you $6 million. And I was like, okay, well, we'll go to Mickey Rourke because he's a nobody. Yeah, he's not a nobody, but he's sort
of a nobody.
His career was kind of on the.
He took up boxing again, didn't he? Late.
Yeah, he did.
Is he any good in this? Well, he must be. Let me tell you,
won a Golden Globe for it, nominated for an Oscar, didn't win.
Who beat him? Do you know?
Yeah,
that'd be something pretty good.
Yeah, it was a film I never heard of.
Oh,
but it was an actor I'd heard of. Like Christian Slater or something. Sean Penn. Sean Penn it was for something. Milk, the boxing one.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So you haven't seen it, Pauline?
No,
so this is the only one you haven't seen out of my four.
Yeah, I've seen the rest, but I've not seen it.
So there's a really brilliant bit in it. It is all about a wrestler who was big in the 90s. It's kind of like a Hulk Hogan figure. He was great in the 80s and 90s, but now he's sort of like a down and out. He's living in his van. He's being kicked out. His daughter don't want to speak to him. He goes to strip clubs and stuff. And he goes to all these like signings where everyone's like, "Oh, you were great," and he's like, "Yeah," and he's still wrestling like at a lower league. All these youngsters want to wrestle him because he's Randy the Ram, as he's called in it, and all these youngsters. But it's all like hardcore stuff where you're getting hit with things and that, which is fine. But he's got a job in a supermarket as well. And he keeps asking his little weasel boss, and he goes, "Oh, I need some extra hours." And he's like, "Oh, why have they put the price of tights up?" You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And there's a bit where he gives up wrestling. There are going to be spoilers in this, but it is a great film. It's worth
The film's been around a long time.
Yeah, 2008. So he's still wrestling, but he has a heart attack in the changing rooms. And the doctor says, "Look, you got to stop wrestling. So then he decides to go see his daughter, tell her he's had a heart attack. They get on like a house on fire, not first, you know. And then he goes back to work and he says, "Look, have you got any more shifts?" And he's like, "I've only got during the weekends. And he's like, "Yeah, I'll take them." He's like, oh, okay. So he's giving it up completely. And he said the only job he's got for him is at the deli counter. And he doesn't want to serve people. He wants to be sort of lugging boxes and that. And it's there's a brilliant bit. There's a brilliant bit where he's given up the wrestling and he puts on a hairnet all that, the apron and all that. And he goes to walk out, you know, through the plastic, like, door that they have at the butchers and all that kind of stuff. And he's standing behind that and you can hear, like, the noise of crowd, like he's just about to go into the arena. And he doesn't do anything. He just stands there and you hear getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And then he goes through and it's just silent. And it's almost like the giving up. He's left it behind.
Yeah.
And it's just brilliant. And he's serving people and he's serving people. And he starts to get into it, doesn't he?
Yeah, there's a woman customer or something.
Yeah, there's a woman customer. Yeah. And she says, you know where you get the pots and he's putting like
coleslaw or something
in a pot. And he puts it on the scales and she goes, oh, a little less. And he goes, okay. And he takes out a little, puts it back on the scale, a little more. And he takes you out, he's like, a little more, okay. And he goes on, and she does that a few times, and then she says a little less, and he takes it off, and he eats some of it. And he puts it back on the scale, and she goes, yeah, that's all right. And then he does it. And it's building and building and building to this point where the guy goes, do I know you from somewhere? And he's like, oh, shit, this is what I don't want, somebody recognising me. Then it's in the tabloids, Randy the Ram's working at flipping, you know, Safeway or whatever. And bloke asks for ham, and he says,
oh, did he get Nicolas Cage? Is that where Nicolas Cage came into the film?
Yeah. And then, hey.
Oh, come on.
Oh, it wasn't ready, yeah. I didn't get it at first. Oh, I was on a roll.
Well, cheese roll for the deli.
Coleslaw. Let me have a little drink. So it builds and builds.
Alcoholic.
It builds and builds, and then the bloke asks for some ham. Oh, can I just get some lightly sliced ham? But you're Randy the Ram. 80s, and you thought this bloke, and you thought, oh, I used to love you. And it's sort of like worlds collided. Like it's like he's at a signing, but he's not at a signing. He's behind his counter, and he's slicing this ham. And the bloke's going, oh, my God, you don't look like you used to, and all this kind of stuff. And he's slicing ham, and he just whacks his thumb in the meat thing. And it starts to bleed, and he goes, and he slaps it on his face. So he's got blood. He goes, yeah, I'm Randy the Ram. And he starts whacking stuff, and he's like, it's like, I can't give this up. I am who I am, you know. And then he leaves, and he decides to do one last match, and it's so good.
It's worth me watching.
It's so good. I mean, when you say wrestling, nobody's interested, but it's not about that. It's just the thing that it's the wrestling film that should have been made a long time ago. Like, it's just. Of that time where people would do, you know, everyone's fat and old and had heart attacks and missing legs and, you know, scarred up and that, and they're signing stuff and saying, oh, you're brilliant. Yeah, oh, thanks. You know, and he looks around the room at all the other ones and it looks like just a car crash of lives, you know what I mean? And but there's a good bit in it where there's a, do you remember the bloke who gets the sign and his name's Evan?
Not really. I only saw it first come out.
Okay. So a fan comes over and goes, oh, excuse me, can you sign this for me, Ram? He's like, yeah, sure. What's your name? He says Evan. And he doesn't know how to spell it because obviously he don't know what is it. And he puts E and he goes, how do you spell it? He goes, E-V-A-N. Well, that is the associate producer, Evan Ginsberg, who's not an actor at all. He said... because he looks geeky. They were like, oh, can you just stand in for this? And Mickey Rourke said to him before they went, he said, improv. Let's just improv this scene. And he was like, in his head, he's going, improv? What's that? Like, I'm not an actor. I don't know what that means. I literally don't. And then Mickey Rourke started to go, oh, what's your name, kid? And he couldn't think of another name. He just said his name, Evan. And he was like, oh, how'd you spell it? And there's a longer scene of it, but it's just quite cool that that's in there now. It's part of it. But yeah, that was my first film.
Oh, I might give that a watch then. Because when you said wrestler, I thought, oh.
Yeah, a lot of people do. It's kind of like, have you seen 8 Mile?
No.
With Eminem?
Oh, yes, I have. Yeah.
So it's kind of that, it's the rap, that's the rap film that should be made, you know. This is the wrestling film that should be made. It's no glitz, no glamour. It's not, it's a guy who's just trying to find, where does he fit now? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. But just to let you know, They asked for 18 million, they cut it down to 6 million, and then when it made 40 million at the box office.
Oh, did well then.
So, yeah. But they said, yeah, the other two blokes look too good.
Can I go back to something you said about two worlds colliding? Because yeah, it is strange when two worlds collide like that. I mean, me and your mum were in, me and Jackie, your wifey, were in Corfu.
So many names.
And
Lauren.
we'd been there about a week, and there was a quiz night in the hotel. So,
of course,
you know,
there was.
Being quizzes, we thought we'll have some of that. And we was getting ready, we had the papers in. It's supposed to have started at 10:30. We got to about 11:15, it still hadn't started.
Blimey.
And anyway, this young couple come in, there was no seats. They obviously wanted to do the quiz. So we said, fancy joining our team, you know, because it's a good idea because you've got young and old for the questions, yeah. And it's good. So I said, oh, is that all right? I said, yeah. So he come in, we got a drink and we settled down. Anyway.
But by the way, we're swingers.
yeah. Anyway, they just put me right off my stroke.
That's what I'm here for.
Anyway, we've got around to about, I don't know, 25 parts. Right, about to start the quiz. Question one went, question, blah, blah, blah. Question two, and then this voice said, all right, dearie. And I turned around and it's me mate Sammy Adams from the Fettling shop at work. And for a moment, my head exploded. I've been in Corfu doing this quiz. And I looked up and there's this bloke from work, Sammy.
I'm at work all of a sudden.
I couldn't get my head round it. And he says, I was a bit of a loss because we just started this quiz. I couldn't abandon this quiz.
Yeah, yeah.
But I didn't want to abandon him sort of thing, you know. So I said, oh, we just started this now, Sam. All right, if we meet up tomorrow. I said, oh, okay, then, yeah. So, obviously, they were staying at the place, the next town along, and he knew I was there, and he came to see us. So we met up the next day. But it was that thing where I turned around and his face was there. For a minute, I thought, who are you? Where am I? What's going on? You know, it was straight. You ever had that?
No, I've never had that.
Yeah, I've had that. Yeah, I can't think of an example, but it's like when work or... When I had my engagement party for my first... marriage, that's weird because you've got workmates. To you look over and it's they're talking to Nan and
oh well,
it's
yeah, that, I had
it's,
that,
it's
yeah.
really sort of
it feels really weird.
Yeah, I always worry about.
Yeah, you can't imagine them two people ever being in the same room.
Yeah.
No, well, my two nans. I mean, to see them two having a conversation is like. What they would never meet. Like, what? When would they meet? Like, it's just
your two nans. Of course yeah. they would because.
Like they don't even make weddings and stuff, yeah, but, engagement parties, that sort of thing.
Yeah, but only me, Michael, or my other brother, if you got married, would have them to meet. Wouldn't you? It wouldn't.
I suppose so, yeah.
But to that point, they hadn't. I'd never seen them in the same room. So
talk about nans. It's like when I was a kid, like really young, I don't know if I've said this before, I thought every old lady was called Joan. And I really, really believed that every old lady was called Joan.
Yeah, but at what point does that
Because both
change?
My nans were called Joan, weren't they? So when I was, like, I remember being at school and someone said about their nan and what their name is. I said, but your nan's not called Joan. No, I thought every old lady, that was their name, Joan.
Talking about Joan, I was on a Beano once when I was at the bus garage. I must have been late teens, something like that. And, we'd all been in the pub, we was all merry, and then we found this place with a disco. So all the music was going, all the lights, and there was these women there. And so I went up to this woman, she was really attractive, she must have been about 35, I think. And I said, would you like to dance? She goes, all right then. So I danced in a way, like, you know, it's not dancing, dance, smooching dancing. I don't want to do fast ones. And talk about own goal. She said to me, what's your name then? I said, oh, my name's Dave. What's yours? She goes, my name's Joan. I said, oh, that's my mum's name.
That killed it. Stone dead.
Oh, as soon as I was halfway through saying it, I thought, why the hell did you say that? Being older, you remind me of my mum, you know. It didn't go very far.
Yeah.
Surprised that never happened to me, you know.
Did your nans not have, nicknames?
Yeah,
because they were both called Joan, how do you decipher between them?
No, I just had Nan, who was our Nan, and then Nanny Seaside.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the sort of thing.
Nanny Seaside. Nanny Patio.
Nanny Patio, because she had a patio. Nanny Polly Dog, because she had a dog called Polly.
Yeah, Polly Dog sometimes, but it was always just Nanny for Nan, but Nanny Seaside. Apart from when she used to say, "Thank God you don't call me Nanny Goat, because their neighbour's got goats."
It could have happened, didn't it? It could have happened.
Easily happened.
It was right there. It was ready. Yeah. You sometimes think of that moment, don't even think how wrong it all went.
Yeah, I can see her face. She had sort of blonde,
gosh,
curly
hair.
She
must have made an impression
there.
Yeah,
she did. She was lovely, she was. Anyway.
Oh, right, yeah. I forgot who it was. film two, 1980s. 2 hours, 13 minutes. Blues Brothers.
Can I just say?
Go on.
I'm not a big fan of John Belushi.
I tend to agree with you there.
To me, he's one of them. He should have been in Bottom or something like that. His comedy was shock comedy, wasn't it?
Yeah, it
and
was.
I'm not a big fan of that.
Honestly, I don't know him from anything apart from this. Obviously, he did Animal House was the big one, where he saw. But he was like the fat, you know, gross out bloke. I don't think of... this is the only film that I see him in when I see his face and, you know, I don't think...
I do like the film. It's just one-off film, isn't it? There's no film quite like it, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, they started off on Saturday Night Live, didn't they? They was just a music act. Dan Aykroyd and John Belushi. But because they got together because of a love of blues. They both love blues. Mm. So then they started to perform blues, and then they got the spot on Saturday Night Live, which they were performing on anyway as comedians. And then it just went from there, really. They got a massive following, started to release songs, and Dan Aykroyd wrote the first ever draft. 324 pages, which is three times longer than a normal screenplay. So the director, John Landis, wrote another one, and like a proper one that they could film. But I just love it. I love it. We watched it as kids, and I've said before, like when we were left in the car when you went shopping.
Have you seen it, Pauline?
Yeah, I've seen this.
But you watched it recently.
I watched it recently.
Well, for the first time?
For the first time. I don't have a clue what it was about. I knew some of the songs, so when I was watching it, I was thinking, what the hell is going on? But I did enjoy it. And one bit that made me laugh is, you know, when they're in his little, can't call it a flat, it was just a room.
Oh, God,
yeah. And then it gets blown up and they just literally come out the bricks. We're late to work.
They just
start jump off. They made me almost that laugh.
It's just a rub, isn't it? And then they disappear and then the cops come out.
Because
he literally explodes as he kicks the door, doesn't it? Yeah, I mean...
No, I did enjoy it. It was much better than what I thought. And I loved the music in it.
Yeah, I thought you would,
yeah.
It's probably the only musical I actually really, really like. I mean, the music's great.
It's not a musical, is it?
Well,
they don't
sing
to
it.
They don't sing to
each
other.
Well, they don't, but they... I mean, she sings...
A musical is where they sing to each other. Hey, you're going down the pub.
Yeah, but
yes, I am.
Aretha Franklin. You better think about... You can't...
A tiny bit.
Yeah, a little bit, I suppose. Yeah.
I just... the music in it's great. The bit where he first comes out of prison and the music there... I can't forget the name of it, but he walks out and he goes, dun, 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 the Blues Brothers, dun, dun. And then they hug and the music starts and they don't say a word to each other. They just get in the car and they just drive. It's the first time he's been out of prison for how long. And they're just in the car and he starts like slagging the car off, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I just love it. I love it. I love that look. I love the, I mean, I went to Florida and they had like not the show, but on the streets, they have like the Blues Brothers sort of turn up in their car and that. I was bursting. I was literally dancing on the cobbles. Like it was great. It was so much fun. It is so off the cuff. Like
it's a nutty film, isn't it? Completely.
Yeah. I mean, you've got the building exploding. You've got the Nazis. I mean, that bit, that's the only bit that sort of, I think, is far-fetched, all of it. But the bit where the car falls from God knows how high and they're just in it. What?
It's a comedy. You can get away with it.
Yeah, exactly. And
I like the country and western thing.
Oh, yeah, Bob's Country Bunker. Oh, it's great.
You're high behind the cage.
Yeah, he goes, what type of music do you normally have playing here? Oh, we have both kinds, country and western. And John Belushi does like an over the top, doesn't he? He goes, "You sure this is the place?" "Yeah, I'm sure this is the place." And he says, "I'm Bob. I'm Bob from Bob's Country Bunker." He's like, "Hey, Bob, this is a super place." Yeah. And then they just do Rawhide.
Yeah, he's good. Much better than what I was expecting.
I'm really glad. I'm really pleased.
And you can't beat that song, can you? That "Bend Over, Let Me See."
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, oh, singing. I like it.
Yeah. He's still alive, isn't he, Dan Aykroyd?
Dan Aykroyd is, yeah.
So what's he doing then?
What, now?
Yeah.
He's still acting.
Is he? When, what?
Yeah. I don't know. In loads of stuff. He's,
well, he's still about.
I think he writes more than he does. You know, obviously, he did Ghostbusters and things like that. Yeah, great, the Great Outdoors, yeah.
A lot of good films back then, but I just wonder what he's done this century.
I don't think he's... Well, maybe he's earned his money and he's just gone. Look, but what I love about this, and this is what we've spoke about before, about CGI and all that kind of stuff. I mean, you look at Fast and the Furious, for instance. I mean, sometimes the road isn't even real or the car's not even real. You know, it's just that guy. There was no CGI in this film, no, none at all. And it was all real, like in Chicago, that they were the streets. They literally shut the streets to crash all them cars, to drive through the buildings and through the mall. It was all actually happened. And I think that adds to it so much.
Yeah. Because
when you're watching it, you're thinking, Jesus, they, like he said, we got up to speeds of 100 miles per hour through Chicago streets. And he said, and when we watched the footage back, the director thought that nobody's going to believe that we did it. They're going to think it's sped up. So they put some stunt actors sort of as pedestrians so they could see them walking normally or jumping out of the way normal, so they knew that we was doing that. It just adds to the whole thing. They had 13 Bluesmobiles. The car that they drive, there were 13 of them. They kept redoing it and redoing it. And a little fact for you, I think this is going to earn the tune. I didn't know about this.
We'll be the judges. Yeah,
of one of the stunt drivers, now they had over like, they were flying stunt drivers in like there's no tomorrow. Like there was, they started off with 200 a week, and then it went up to 400 a week. Like they were just getting them in, get the cars banged back up, and they were just recouping the cars, redoing them, send them out. And they just had more and more cars, more and more drivers. One of the drivers was Ethan Wayne.
Who's he?
Who's that then?
He is John Wayne's son.
Oh, right, okay. Oh. The hell he is.
Yeah, he was one of them drivers, yeah. And given all of them crashes, there was only like minor injuries. Nobody was actually hurt for real, which is incredible when you see that pile of cars and, you know, crashing cars into the side of lorries and stuff like that. But I also love the dialogue as well. Like, I mean, that opening scene where it starts off with them talking about the car. My own brother picks me up in a police car, and he throws the cigarette lighter out the window, and then they jump over the thing, and he says, "Well, is it a new Bluesmobile or what?" Yeah, fix the cigarette lighter. You know, it's just that little dialogue.
Is,
I love that.
It is good.
And them two work well together. I mean,
I like Dan Aykroyd. That's why I'm surprised he sort of disappeared, unless he is doing writing and producing and stuff like that.
I would think so. But yeah, Aykroyd and Carrie Fisher got engaged during the film of this.
Ooh.
The wedding never happened.
What year was this film again?
1980.
Oh, so it is quite old then, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I didn't know they got engaged, but they never married, yeah. Yeah, it's just one of them great films. And did you notice Steven Spielberg at the end?
Yeah,
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, when he comes out of his sandwich.
Yeah.
Hello?
So why was that? Like,
I looked it up and it was just like, he was just there. Well, because they had, there were so many cameos.
Did you say it was John Landis?
John Landis,
well, yeah. Well, they're mates, aren't they, Landis and Spielberg? I mean...
Yeah, but I mean, it's such a strange, because there were so many. Frank Oz, do you know Frank Oz?
No.
He in Star Wars, he's the puppet
bloke, isn't he?
Yeah, he's the puppet master. He's the guy who did Yoda and everyone. He's the guy who gives him his stuff back in the prison. He says, "Stand behind the line." He leans forward. He's the guy with the glasses who gives him like his condom. They used proper musicians as well. They'd only Murph and the Magic Tones had done a bit of acting, and you can tell that as well when you get Donald Duck Dunn doing lines and Willie the drummer when they do lines, you can tell they're not actors. And but it's just great. I mean, I've done Blues Brothers on karaoke with my brother a lot.
Oh, I can imagine you're quite good at that.
We've got that on films, haven't we?
Oh, it's great.
In the pub in Rochester.
Yeah, it's just brilliant. I love that look. And the funny thing was, as a youngster, I always thought I'd be the thin one. Now I'm not. I'll be the fat one. Funny how things change, isn't it? but it made 115 million.
Bloody hell.
Yeah. Yeah, so they did make another one, Blues Brothers 2000, which was dire. It's probably the only film with John Goodman in it that's
so I shouldn't bother with that.
Horrific.
Then.
I mean, you can watch it.
Or did John Goodman take John Belushi's place?
Yeah. It's got all the old faces. They bring back everyone, Aretha Franklin. That, you know, it's got a lot of faces in it. It's just not the Blues
not
Brothers.
The same.
Yeah. So that was. I'm glad that you enjoyed it.
I sort of agree with that one, yeah.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I think it's one of them films that you have to watch. I mean, it's just, it's got everything.
Plus, it's nothing to not enjoy, really. It's just easy watching good music.
It got really bad reviews.
Oh.
Yeah, it did. It's one of them I read last night. It was outrageously unfunny. Was one of the
perhaps I just sat wrong with us then.
Yeah, but then it made 150 million. Yeah. So, I mean, it can't be all bad, you know. Yeah. That was all my facts and that.
Yeah.
Good one.
Well done with that one.
Yeah. I used to do my boss, Bruce, who's not with us anymore. He was so funny. We bonded over Blues Brothers because he was a lot older than me. And we talked about it all the time. And I did the Cab Calloway, you know, the Minnie the Moocher. Do you know who he is in it? You know, when he's
the Moocher, you must be. If you've seen Blues Brothers, you must remember Minnie the Moocher.
The guy, the song where he's the Blues Brothers are trying to get into the Palace Hotel ballroom.
Yeah.
And they go around the back. And he goes, okay. And he says, right, do you guys know Minnie the Moocher? And he's like, yeah, sure. And he goes, hit it. And he opens, he's got a white suit on.
White suit on, yeah. Yeah, I know.
I used to do a walk like Cab Calloway, like with the arm down there. And he used to wet himself. And he always used to get, it was almost like Impractical Jokers. He used to say, oh, well, so-and-so's coming down in a bit. What I want you to do is when I ask you to leave the room, I want you to do that walk. He'd sort of challenge me to do it. And I'd be like, see you later, Bruce. And off I'd go, yeah.
Straight away.
Yeah. And off I went. And they'd be like, is he all right? But yeah, that was that bit. I love that bit with John Candy. It turns up in it, and they go right. Okay, we're going to get him. Whoa, hold on. I've never heard them sing, so let me hear them sing first. And then he goes, orange whip, four orange whips. And they go and get him a drink. And then he's like, I'm watching you. And then they just go. The concert is very short, isn't it? I mean,
really short.
Yeah, but they had it rocking, didn't they?
Yeah.
Twiggy turned up in it.
It was much better than what I thought.
Yeah, good film. Next one. Predator. 1987. 1 hour, 47 minutes.
I saw it in the pictures.
Did you?
Yeah, I thought it was great.
Now, Pauline.
Yeah.
You famously hadn't seen Terminator. And you watched it and liked it.
It's
T2. Right. You ever seen the first one yet, Terminator?
Yeah, I've seen one and two. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So this is another Arnie one that you hadn't seen.
Yeah.
And you watched it?
For the first time.
Last night.
For the first time ever.
For the first time ever last night.
I also watched it last night as well, but I knew it worked.
And?
God, it's ugly.
You an ugly mother.
As soon as he said that, I was thinking it at the time. I mean, it was all right. It weren't great. I preferred Terminator much, much more. It was just in the woods chasing this ugly thing.
Well, chasing them, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, but you know what I mean. And then I didn't dislike it and I didn't like it. I just thought, oh, it's a bit.
Okay. That surprises me.
Maybe it's a thing of the 80s.
Well, I did think to myself, perhaps if I'd watched it in the 80s, I would have thought, oh, this is good. But because I'm watching it now for the first time, it was a little bit...
Well, you think about those 80s films like, you know, Time Cop and... or like Bloodsport and all this. They haven't aged well, I don't think.
Karate Kid.
Yeah, these 80s films, I don't think they've aged well. But for me, Predator could be made now. Like, as that film, it just... I just think it's great. It's the perfect testosterone filled, you know, gun shooting. It's got a monster in it. I always forget the opening scene where it's space and the ship.
Yeah.
I always forget that even happens.
I didn't hate it or dislike it, but I weren't thinking, oh, this is so good. I was just watching it thinking.
It's all about John Wayne. There is a tribute to John Wayne in it, isn't there? Where he knocks the door down and goes, knock, knock.
Oh, yeah.
John Wayne done that in an old film.
Yeah.
So sort of a tribute to him.
I've got quite a lot to talk about this one because so much happened during the filming. They shot it in Mexico on site and on like in the woods and stuff. And it was actually called The Hunter or Hunter.
That would have worked as well, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would have worked. And they actually mentioned some of the actors, because they mentioned in the film, he's hunting us. We're being hunted. It mentions it a few times, but because it's called Predator, you don't really notice it. But I think it's the best Arnie's ever looked.
when he gets
out of the chopper and he's got the red T-shirt on and the cigar and that handshake. Oh, ooh. It's just like,
it did.
The CAA got you pushing too many pencils. I love it. It's brilliant.
Actually that much talking in it, is there?
Well, you say that. This is what I'm saying. That so much happened during this film, right? The original monster was played by Jean.
Not a monster, is he?
No, wait.
What is it?
The original monster, which they didn't know was going to look like that, was played by Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Oh.
And he was sacked because he hated the suit. He couldn't wear the suit. And it wasn't the suit like you know. It was a big, stupid lizard suit with like a head hooked on. There is film where they started it and that's how it was going to look. And they got about halfway through and they hadn't filmed the monster because Jean-Claude Van Damme had been sacked. And they said, we haven't got what they're running from. Yeah. We haven't got anything. So they stopped shooting and they edited together what the footage that they had. And it was all them talking in the woods and being killed and they don't know what it is. And they showed the production company. And it was so good, the footage was so good, they gave them more budget. So then that's why there's more to it in the second half. There's more explosions, there's more, you know, all these other guns and all that. The second half is so much more because they had the more budget. The design for the new monster or Predator and the change of the name happened then. So if that hadn't have happened, it would have been just like a really terrible
monster film.
I mean, if I could show you a picture of the original one, you wouldn't believe it. Like, it's ridiculous. And that's why you don't see Predator for the first hour of the film. For the first hour, you don't see him.
No, you don't.
You see what he's seeing. Like,
but that's a good thing, though, isn't it?
But
it's an hour and 47 minutes in. On 57th minute, you see him for the first time. When he sort of undoes his thing
and all that actually, coming out, and then he takes his thing off, and he's the ugliest thing I've ever seen.
You an ugly mother. It's so much happened during the film. They also told all the other actors not to go to the gym and stuff. They said to Arnie, only Arnie's allowed to use the gym because they want him to look the biggest. So they all did it in secret. they all like in their rooms were like lifting up the beds and stuff like that. The guy with the big gun,
he was an American footballer, wasn't he?
No, he's a wrestler.
Oh, wrestler.
Jesse the Body Ventura, who was also in Running Man. Do you remember Running Man?
No.
He was one of the old. No, I wasn't a big fan of it, but he was one of the blokes in that. He also became mayor of somewhere.
He had that big gun, didn't he? Like a big Gatling gun. Yeah. And when he flipped, but that bit where they just fire into the forest, it goes, spins around. That's great. Yeah. That scene.
And then it's empty, isn't it? That gun, it shot blanks, but it was quite dangerous. So everybody else had to be sort of 10 feet away when he shot it. It's just great. It gives you everything. It gives you Arnie at his peak. Versus somebody who's massive, like the guy they got in, I forget his name, the guy they got in to play the Predator, as soon as he put on the suit, everyone went, whoa.
Yeah.
Because he was massive. He dwarfed Arnie. And he had.
Well, Arnie's not tall anyway, is he?
No, no, he's not. But to get somebody bigger, there's a cameo of him when the massive explosion happens at the end, and it goes to the bloke driving the chopper. And he goes, oh, my God, that must be, you know, nobody survived that. The black bloke there, that's him. That's the guy who played Predator.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
So he gets a little cameo, gets his face in it. But, yeah, I mean, Arnie...
I can totally see why you like it. I can see it.
But it just wasn't for you.
I wasn't blown away by it at all.
No, that's fair enough. It's, you know, I'm glad you've watched it now, though. The guy who played Hawkins, the guy who tells the jokes and reads the comic... He wasn't an actor at all, but he was a really good screenwriter. So they thought, well, if we cast him in it, we've got a screenwriter on set. So they hired him and just sort of had him there. Even on his days he weren't shooting, they had him there as kind of just, oh, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? You know, and he actually wrote the screenplay for Predators or The Predator or one of the films later on. Which was
so. There's more of these, is there?
Yeah. Well, they did make a number two with Danny Glover,
that was
which
terrible.
I don't
that was
mind.
In New York, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't mind it. It's just different. It's just not Arnie. Bill Paxton's in it, and then it just gets stupid. They did AVP, Alien versus Predator.
Now I thought that was a good idea.
Well, there's a comic of it. That's where it came from.
Yeah, because you know the Aliens films. Yeah. The story in that where it's the Predators who sort of created the aliens as a to fight against in training sort of thing. Isn't that story?
Yeah. So
which makes
So the Predators are the ultimate Predators. They're the ultimate kind of monster animal. You know, they beat anything else. So they created the aliens to. Find out who's
like sparring partners,
and that's why they have the bomb, because if you're gonna die you take them all with you, and that's, you know, I'm not good enough, you know. So AVP is quite good because they sort of discover them.
It was just the format. I don't know why it's have the people in it as well.
Yeah, I suppose
that spoiled the film. I mean, they should have just had it,
but then they had AVP 2, which was terrible,
and then it just gets dark,
and then they
had like Jaws 7, you know,
and they had Predators. The thing is, the Predator itself, how it looks, is so cool and so great. You go to any Comic Con, there's going to be somebody dressed up in that. I think it's brilliant, well designed. It does look scary, and yet they turn it into like a comedy. It's ridiculous. It's just, I don't know. Just too much of a good thing, isn't it? Just burn it out.
Well, they can't leave things alone, can they?
No, it's true. That's it. So I'm just looking at my notes I made last night. That was it. Anybody else?
No, it's good. They're all good films. I mean, we like your films.
Yeah. It's just one of them films where I loved it as a kid, and I think as it's aged, I think it's better now. It's just because I can appreciate, like, them.
It's a bit of the start. I always remember the start of it in the pictures. It starts with the helicopter. I know it starts with a little bit with the alien, but the main bit starts with the helicopter, doesn't it? And it's so loud, the surround sound. And don't he spit on his boot?
Oh, yeah, he said he's
Cold
chewing,
weather,
chewing
isn't
tobacco,
it?
Isn't he? And Jesse the Body Ventura, and he offers it to him, doesn't he? And he goes, get that shit out of my face. And I wrote it down here. He says, yeah, this stuff will make you a goddamn sexual Tyrannosaurus. And it's just the quirky bits. Like, I wrote down knock, knock. And he throws the knife and it sticks in the burger. He goes, stick around. It's just brilliant. It's just, I ain't got time to bleed. It's just all these little quirky bits. It's
I did laugh when he did say, get to the chopper.
Yeah.
Oh, I couldn't hear you.
He's landing on the floor. He's speaking to the woman, isn't he?
Woman, yeah.
Get to the chopper! I'm always disappointed by that Billy. Because
is he the Native American?
Yeah, at the beginning he is the guy. He's the guy smelling the ground, and he knows.
He knows he's coming, doesn't he?
Eight people.
He crossed like on a log.
Yeah, they go,
and he knows he's at it, so he turns around to die like a Native American, like a tribesman, and he knows he's gonna fight it because he knows he can't get away from it.
Yeah, I suppose it makes sense. I mean, it does, but
I quite liked his character as well.
Yeah, what's got Billy so spooked?
Yeah.
"Some of those trees."
And the black fella, he's sort of shaving his head with no.
And he's, yeah, he's,
yeah, he's
doing
like that. He goes, and
"I
stop.
I can see you."
Yeah. I sometimes do it when if my fiance doesn't know I'm around, I'll sneak up behind her and go, "Turn around."
Oh God, stop that!
Anytime. It's great, but with the music and that as well, it's just so dramatic as well. It's so over the top. I just love it.
Yeah,
and
I
when
can
he,
see
when
why
he can't
you like
see
it.
Him with the mud and that. I mean, it's great. It's great. Last one, last film.
This one was always going to be on your list.
Yeah, it's been mentioned a few times. It's my favourite film of all time is Stand By Me. 1 hour, 29 minutes of pure...
1 hour, 29 minutes?
Yeah.
Very long at all, is it?
That's a bit short, wasn't it?
Yeah, I thought that when I watched it the other day.
They made it for $8 million and it made $52 million. But it almost didn't happen. It almost didn't happen because the production company... pulled the plug. I think the production company was bought by Coca-Cola and they took a look at all the films that were going to be in production and went, "No, I don't want that." And they pulled the plug like a week before it was supposed to shoot. So hold on, I've got to get the guy's name. So the producer, after the production company pulled the plug, the producer put all the money up. He paid for the whole shoot, $8 million, which is no joke, yeah. You know. So he got his money back and some, you know.
Just a bit, yeah.
But again, it came from a Stephen King short story called The Body, which was all about Chris Chambers, who was played by River Phoenix. He was the lead character. It was him narrating it. It was him who picked up the gun at the end. So it's the director, Rob Reiner's idea to change it to Gordy. Gordy narrated it. And have you seen it?
Stand By Me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I like it. Love this film.
I think it's just it's the film that the coming of age. It's that genre.
And they're so good together, them four boys.
Well, he didn't want actors. He wanted kids to be as close to those characters as possible, yeah. Which they were. I mean,
and it don't feel like they're acting at all.
No.
You feel like you're there with them and they are just genuinely four mates.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a little bit obsessed by this film because I've done so much. I've seen it so much, but you can go to the town that was called Castle Rock in the film, but it's I think it's in Oregon.
A lot of his books are set in Castle Rock.
Yeah. Well, Rob Reiner started his own production company and called it Castle Rock Productions as well. But you can go to that town and get a map and it takes you around the whole set. Yeah, the whole set of where they were. And the bit at the end, near the end where Vern, the fat kid, picks up a penny off the floor.
Yeah.
There's a penny stuck to the floor there.
Oh.
There's a penny, yeah. With the four guys have sort of signed it or marked it or whatever. It's just, I would love to do that. You know, follow the tracks and all that kind of stuff. It was called The Body and it was the...
Stephen King book.
Right? Yeah, Rob Reiner changed
it. Was it in different seasons or the Backman books?
No, it was in... I didn't write it down, but it was a short story one.
Yeah, no, he'd done a book with four short stories in.
Yeah.
He'd done it twice. One was the Batman books and one was different seasons. I think this came from one of those.
It was in the same one as Shawshank.
Yeah, probably the different seasons in.
Rita Hayworth and the Shawshank Redemption. Yeah. Yeah. But Stephen King said this is the best adaptation of any story he's ever done. He said they just nailed it. And sometimes they change things and he's not happy. But he said the fact that they changed it to Gordy's story is just...
Kiefer Sullivan was one of the bad guys, wasn't he?
Yeah. And he did actually, during filming, bully the kids. He went out of his way to sort of be horrible to them.
Yeah.
So that when they filmed, they didn't want it. Like, they had that kind of standoffish. And it was only at the rap party that they saw him. Hey, you're right. Hey. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I
love the boy. You know the boy that faints when he gets the leeches?
Gordy, yeah.
Oh, I really like him. And the man that's playing him, like, older, looks like he really could have been him.
Yeah, yeah.
There is such a resemblance.
Yeah, Richard Dreyfuss is the older. Yeah, he's the older one. He's sitting in the car, isn't he?
I really thought that. And at the end, you know, when he's typing, the end.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh.
And the kids are like, Dad, like, yeah, Dad, we want to go. Yeah, 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 I'll be there in a minute. Oh, he gets like that when he's writing. You know, he became a writer. Yeah.
You know, it makes you go a bit, oh.
Yeah. I never had any friends like I did.
I didn't like the story within the story. What? They read a campfire, say, and they tell the story about the kid was throwing up and that.
Oh, yeah, Lardass. Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't ever keen on that section.
Well, it's coming from a kid's mind, you've got to think as well. Yeah. It's always going to be sort of gross, some kind of gross out thing. And he's like, yeah, I like it. I just don't like the ending. Why don't you make it so he goes home and he shoots his father?
Yeah.
I like the ending.
I like the bit with the train tracks. Yeah. Where they have to run. That's a good bit.
That's iconic, that is. And the funny thing is, when I watched Stand By Me as a kid, it didn't really sort of stay with me. But that bit with the train always did. I always remembered that bit. And then as I came back to it, I thought, oh, this is the one with the train in it. Yeah, this is it. And but it was really hard to film that because they had the camera on the tracks in with the kids in front of it and then like a long lens so it looks like the train's right behind them, but it's not, it's like miles away. And they were so the kids aren't actually in trouble, obviously.
Yeah.
So there were guys, they didn't have machinery, there were blokes pushing it back along the track as they were running, and he just wasn't getting the reaction, the fear from them. So he would do another take. And the guys who were pushing the thing were getting slower because they're knackered. And a hot summer day. And he in front of everybody on set, everywhere, he had a right go at them. And he says, you're not doing this right. These guys, look at him. Look at him. And one of them had like sweat all down. He said, he's sweating. These guys want to go back. We should be back there now, back at having a right go at them. And they started to go, the lip going, you're like, right, get them all set, quick, get them over there, quick. And then that's the one that you got with them proper, like, I just love it.
I do love this film. It's definitely your best one.
Yeah, well, it's my favourite film of all time, yeah. So,
and I love it when he's typing at the computer and he says about his friend that I may not have seen him for 10 years, but I knew I was going to miss him forever.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, I never had any friends like I did that summer. Yeah. And we've bless you. And we've all had. I mean, I don't know if kids nowadays do this, but I remember it going on like treks and stuff, and let's go. I remember once that in Tenzin we had the Tump. Do you remember the Tump?
Yeah.
Do you know what that is?
What the hell is?
We still had bomb sites when I was a kid.
Yeah, that must have been well weird.
Oh, that's weird.
But the Tump's like it's like a marshland, isn't it? It's like nothing. It's you wouldn't go in there. Why would you go in there? There's no point. There's nothing in there. And anyway, we decided to go in there. Of course we did. And got so muddy and that, and we was going, oh, we've never been further than this. So we go in, and it was just like woodland with like mud everywhere.
The orchard.
Horrible, horrible. And we came across a dead dog.
Oh
yeah, like a pit bull with like maggots on it and all that, and it was disgusting. It was horrible, but it was like we came out of their men. You know, it's like I know it's ridiculous, but it's like we saw something. We all sort of we shared that moment of that harrowing moment, and then we walked away, and nothing was the same again. Yeah, it was just stupid, really. But I always remember it. I always remember it. And it reminds me of this, where they're like, you know, the idea of going to see a dead body is so exciting. That'd be great. But they don't want to think about the reality. Because even when Vern says, oh, what if it's got blood and shit and guts all over it? And, oh, what if... And like, shut up, Vern. Shut up.
Yeah.
Shut up. Like, they don't want to think about that. They just want to think about how fun it is to get there and get back. And the music in it is great as well. I mean, it's just got that innocence. It's like when they're around the fireplace and they're all telling their stories like, what is Goofy? Like, what?
Yeah.
Donald's a duck, Mickey's a mouse. What's Goofy?
Yeah, because it's something about we discussed life or we had long conversations. Yeah, yeah.
Things that were important before we discovered girls.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just little things like, oh, one food for the rest of my life. Easy. Cherry flavoured Pez. Easy. The little fact was you know where they get the leeches on them?
Yeah.
That was man-built. They dug a thing in the woods, dug the thing and filled it full of water. But then they didn't film in there for like a couple of months. So when they came back, it was man-made, but it wasn't. It did have shit in it and that.
Oh.
So
wildlife have moved in.
Yeah, so it was it was as horrible as they said, but the leeches weren't real. But that actually happened to Stephen King.
Oh, I felt sorry for him.
That actually happened to Stephen King, like the leeches thing. Yeah, that's where he got that story from. But it's just, yeah, I just think it's that coming of age. I never get sick of it. I never get tired of it. And I even bought the I don't know what anniversary it was, but the Stand By Me DVD with extras. And it actually has the director, Will Wheaton, and Corey Feldman watching it and like commentating over it. And I just loved it. Their stories, I had no idea that Vern, towards the end of the filming, got bit on the face by a dog.
Oh.
So I never noticed it before, but if you watch the end bit where they see the body and that, you don't see one side of his face. They always tried to film it sort of seeing one. Yeah. So they had to sort of put that in it. And yeah. And they told this story about they wanted it when they saw the body to be really windy and really kind of not summer anymore. So then they had to sort of cover it over because it was really sunny. They covered it over and they just put people in bushes and like, we're doing this. And they said there was one bit where filming just stopped because the director from behind the camera shouted to one of the women behind there, Gene, shake your bush. And everyone just rolled around laughing at that. But some of them little stories, I just love them. And I think it's just iconically because River Phoenix did die, yeah, and his character died and he faded into the thing. It's just quite sad. It's got that Heath Ledger, you know, that tie to it as well. Really, when you think about it, they did sort of, he became a writer. Will Wheaton went on to do Star Trek and
Next Generation. Yeah, he went on to kill Star Trek Next Generation.
But he had a little bit of a career. And Corey Feldman, he was, you know, he was abused and all this kind of stuff was going on at the time as well. Another story that Vern, the fat kid, the adults went to a party and came back and brought a load of cookies back for the kids. So they brought back cookies. Nobody ate them apart from Vern, the fat one, yeah? So he ate them, but they didn't realise there was weed in it, pot, weed.
Oh, no.
So he disappeared and they found him 2 hours later crying in a car park.
Oh.
And it was like, yeah, it's just, I didn't know that story until I looked on it last night, yeah.
So you like this film then?
I love this
film.
So
you actually like this better than Jurassic Park?
This is my favourite film of all time.
Absolute,
yeah.
Favourite.
Yeah, it's got everything. It just makes me feel happy. It reminds me of being a kid without the internet, without, you know, just kids lying to their parents to go off and do something. Oh, let's just go and do that. With no idea of the consequences or, yeah, you know, what actual danger they were in and discovering who they are. You know, you got Chopper Sick Balls, you know, it's just being places you're not supposed to be and that excitement and that nervousness. And yeah, it's just a great coming of age. I think it is the greatest coming of age film ever made. 52 million, don't lie.
Exactly.
I don't know how short it was, hour and 29 minutes.
It was really short.
Yeah. There's the Stand By Me, obviously the song was, that they didn't like the title, The Body. And they had the song Stand By Me at the end of it. And they went through all of these ideas and Rob Reiner says, oh, let's just call it Stand By Me.
I think it's a perfect
and have the song
title.
At the end. Yeah, yeah. It fits perfectly now, but at the time they just didn't know what they were going to do with the title. But then the song was re-released. And there is a music video with River Phoenix and Will Wheaton in it, and it's super awkward. Like they can't dance; they're just kids and that, and they're just clicking their fingers and that. But it's well 80s.
Because when that film came out, they re-released a single and it got number one in the UK, didn't it? Again,
yeah, that's right. Yeah,
well, I don't know if it got number one first time round, but it definitely did the second time round.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just and when you like with me when I get obsessed with a film. When you start digging, it sort of brings out all these little stories. And River Phoenix lost his virginity while we're filming.
Did he?
Yeah, not on camera, obviously.
Oh, I hope not.
But yeah, the director remembers him being very happy on set one day. yeah, and the bit where he cries, the iconic bit where he tells the about the teacher, he stole the milk money, but the teacher but the teacher spent the money on herself when he tried to return it, and he was crying, but he weren't crying like you would if you had been. So he took River Phoenix to one side and he said, "I want you to think about when an adult has let you down." And then they did a take, and he couldn't stop crying. Apparently, they went cut, and he was still. So he had to go over and sort of cuddle him, and they never found out what it was he actually thought of or whatever. But so it was sad. I've watched the story of him the night he died, and he was with Whacking Phoenix, and Whacking Phoenix did the 999 call. But yeah, so it's just a sad end. But I think. The end of him fading away is it's apt. It just fits. It fits history. And the fact that Jerry O'Connell went on to be like a heartthrob. I mean, who saw that? Married to all these, beauty queens and all this kind of stuff. Yeah. And he was in Jerry Maguire.
I thought that when I was watching, I thought, I know him from Jerry Maguire. I love that film.
Yeah.
Jerry Maguire.
I like it as well. They're my four films. The rest are Blues Brothers, Predator, and Stand By Me.
Yeah, good selections, Robert.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I'll put my notes down there now. Never to be needed again.
Not quite as good as mine, but good effort.
Did you want to do a little thing, Dave, or a little diary, or...?
If you want to.
Save it for the final. It's up to you.
Save it for the final. It's not really diary. It's not a very good one anyway.
Oh, the diary. Yeah. Oh, you've checked it. Okay, well, we will be back after this with the final.
Ooh.
The final. Shawshank Redemption versus Pulp Fiction. Third place playoff was won by Jurassic Park.
I don't think so, mate.
The final. I can't believe this season's coming to an end. It's like flown by.
I've come in halfway, so it's gone really quick for me.
And season three, you'll be here the full season.
The final will be the 63rd match.
And I've decided for season three, we're all going to take it in turns to host. And control the buttons.
Oh, you have to be joking.
No, I'm serious. Because I'm not, I want to enjoy it as well. I feel like I'm at work.
You love the power.
Yeah, that's
of
your
buttons.
Job. You love all that. No, we keep it as it is. Or Dave can do it. You and Dave can take
it. You should, you need to do it, Dave, for your own podcast. And don't forget, Dave's got his own podcast coming out soon.
Woo! When's that coming out? Do you know yet?
Well, I don't know, because I've already advertised what... the first episode's going to be, and it's going to be with me and two mates, but one of the mates, his mum was in hospital, so I've got number three lined up,
but
I can't do it because I've already advertised number one,
there's no rush, is there?
I'm seeing him, I already mentioned that, haven't I? I'm seeing that bloke tonight, so we're having a what they call it?
Reunion.
A reunion, yeah, that's the word.
Oh, nice.
But I've seen him for a lot of them for a year and a half.
Nice. Yeah,
so that'd be funny.
Good.
What blokes you used to work with?
Yeah, so
you ain't seen
the seven of us, the Magnificent Seven, ride again.
It's the bloke. It's the
including Sammy, who I'm meeting.
They have to wear cowboy outfits.
Is the bloke going to be there that never knew you took the end of his book out?
No, he won't be there. Oh. No, he retired some years before.
Oh.
I don't know where he is now. Still reading half a book's probably, poor old George. Yes, that should be interesting.
Yeah, it'd be good.
Yeah, big night out.
Dave's and he can't drink because I'm driving. This is in Sid Cup.
Why can't wifey take you?
Can't wifey take you?
Nah, she won't.
Why?
She doesn't like driving this for distances. I told you about
when are you taking Pauline?
I'm in Hastings. I'm not driving from Hastings to take him.
I told you when we was away, I'd done all the driving up there, all the driving while we were up there, apart from the only time she drove was when we drove about 4 miles.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you did.
And it was only one road sort of thing. It weren't nothing,
I bet she did it with her eyes shut, didn't she?
And then so I've done all that, all the driving. Whenever we went to restaurants, cafes, I'd go up and pay. And then one time I've left my wallet. It was out during the day and I left my wallet back at the place. So we're sitting at the table and I said to her, you'll have to go and pay. I've left my wallet. I ain't running around after you all the time. What?
Well, here's a wifey story from this morning, fresh off the press.
Oh, yeah.
You've got
to take her card up and pay with her card.
You could have been done for fraud, Dave.
This morning was mental.
Yeah. So you've got a saga going on with your oven, Dave, at the moment, haven't you?
It's packed up.
It's packed up. You can turn it on, but it doesn't get hot. So you've been looking into getting it replaced or getting it fixed or whatever.
I want it replaced, but we can't find anyone who'll take it. It's a big double oven.
It's a lovely oven.
It's a big old smeg. And,
because of COVID.
The kitchen now is all light blue. And it's a big black oven, so it don't really fit. So you can get a nice light blue oven. So we wanted a brand new oven to go in there. But because of COVID, they want you to take the oven out and put it out the front of the house. There's no way we can lift that thing out. It weighs a ton. Anyway, getting back to this morning, Robert. Go on.
Well, I came downstairs and wifey's got her rubber gloves on and she's scraping it. And
this is like clean, half 9 in the morning.
Half 9, Saturday morning. Scraping
it. She's in the oven. I'm like, what are you doing?
It doesn't work. She's cleaning. Yeah. And you said it's like your example.
What?
Was the car thing.
Well, yes. It's like, well, it's like your car's old car's on the way out. So before the mechanic comes to tell you whether it's any good, you go out and polish it and dust it and hoover it. Yeah. Then he says, oh, it's a write-off. That's exactly what she's doing. Yeah. She's in there, polished. And if you get the oven fixed, we want it serviced, so they'll do all that, but there'll be nothing to do. Because when we first moved in the house, which is about
she's crazy.
About 13 years ago, that oven was here. And because it was in a bit of a state, we got the oven man in. He had a van with all like acids, and he was putting all the stuff in, cleaning it off and this, that, and the other. And he got it all working fine. He said it was only so dirty. The fan got clogged up. So this is the same sort of thing, but she's going to clean it all before the bloke gets here to service
it. She's mad.
And when I said that, she said, oh, I'm going to stop now because you've pissed me off. I was like, good. And I came up here, started to do the prep for the podcast. About half hour later, I went downstairs, still doing it.
Yeah, she's still doing it when I got in.
She's probably still doing it now.
She's crazy. I don't know. Yeah. Oh, well.
Oh, but we love her.
We love her. She's our head case, isn't she?
Yeah.
Well, that was my honourable mentions. Yay. That was four. Hey.
Well done. Dave didn't clap.
He gave me a thumbs down like he could.
Well, at least I spoke about him. Not.
I was going to say, this makes
sabotage.
This one makes Dave's look really, really bad.
It was really bad. I didn't even want to put it out.
I really enjoyed this episode.
Yeah, I enjoyed mine, and it's rubbish for Dave.
Have you got another four, Dave, you could do? I'll tell you what, in the final, you can talk about Shawshank and Pulp Fiction if you want.
Oh, can
I?
Yeah.
Nice. Good.
Yeah. I'm ready.
If I can let you get a word in.
I'm ready to vote.
Well, we shall see you again. If you've got any ideas about features for season three, we are more than welcome to, you are more than welcome to throw them our way. Get in touch on Facebook, Elimination Podcast Facebook page, or our email, which is podcastelimination@gmail.com. And we're going to end on a song. This is Justin Wade Band with T-shirt. T-shirt. Any last words?
Yeah. Ballistics. That's a great word, isn't it?
Didn't you do that last time?
Yeah. Get to the chopper!
Saw your face and I even remember the place. It was Pittsburgh back in 93. And you were standing there all alone. You had your high heels and your Daisy Dukes on. And I couldn't believe just what you were doing to me. 3 weeks, not a time has passed. I wouldn't trade the sand in my hourglass. And you slipped right on. When you rock my t-shirt and you wear them jeans, I can't even figure it out what happened to me. When you rock my t-shirt. kid in a candy store, what happened to me? Another day passed and our love's grown. We just skirting around, moving to our song. Didn't know I could love someone this long.
I didn't know.
And even though that time flew by, watching you still gets me high. As you slip right on into my teeth. When you rock my t-shirt, and you wear them jeans, I can't even figure it out. When you rock my t-shirt and you wear them jeans, I'm like a kid in a candy store. What happened to me? Come on, girl. Let me hear you say, when you rock my t-shirt and you